Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. So maybe you've noticed how young people, especially young men, can be people of few words. I've noticed that, especially with my 20-year-old grandson, Duncan. I initiate the conversation via text. How else does one get in touch with a 20-year-old these days? And it went something like this. Don't know what your day is like, but want to reach out to let you know I'm thinking of you and I love you. Do you want to get dinner tonight or tomorrow? Sorry, but I have church stuff Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was Holy Week. Could do breakfast, lunch, or dinner on Saturday, though. Place of your choice. He responds, I can't. I'm sorry. I love you. Like I said, he's a man of few words. And usually that would be the end of it. But I press on. From my heart, that's so disappointing to me. When are you available? What are you available for? Food? Movie, whatever you like. Weekends are open, he writes. How about next Saturday? What would you like to do? I'll talk to Jay, that's Jordan, his older brother, and see if we can all get together. Or it could just be you and me. A couple of other possibilities are the art museum and you know that jazz place, Dazzle. Are you watching Madden? He writes back. That's his 2-year-old stepsister that he is greatly in love with. Anytime soon, because I could come over then. It's been a while since I've seen her or you. I watch Madden on Wednesdays, 3 to 7. Please come for any or all of that time. Do you think you could come this Wednesday? Yes. Perfect. Love you lots. Do you want me to pick you up? Or should I meet you at Madden's? I'll be there. I'll meet you there, he writes. Sounds good. Love you. So now listen to these words of God. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Today, we're wrapping up that amazing series that Cody started on April 1st. That was Easter Sunday. It was 30 days to live. And if the 30th, April 30th, is the end of the line, all of us have about 16 days left. And of course, when we have only a limited amount of time, we don't want to waste any time on anything that isn't really important. But how do we know? How do we know what's really important? Sometimes it's not that easy to know, right? But today, in our gospel lesson from Mark, Jesus tells us what's most important, and he's perfectly clear. So please stand. I'll be reading from the Message translation. One of the religion scholars came up, hearing the lively exchanges of questions and answers, and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answer, he put in his question, which is most important of all the commandments? Jesus said, the first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. The religion scholar said, wonderful answer, teacher, so lucid and accurate that God is one and there is no other. And loving him with all passion and intelligence and energy, and loving others as well as you love yourself. Why, that's better than all the offerings and sacrifices put together. When Jesus realized how insightful he was, he said, You're almost there, right on the border of God's kingdom. After that, no one else dare ask a question. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So did you hear that? So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. You can just give it all you've got. That's the first part of the greatest commandment. And the most important part, because loving God with everything we've got is the taproot from which everything else grows. Loving God is, in essence, foundational, because God is foundational. When Jesus says, "The Lord your God is one," he is reciting the Shema from the Old Testament. Now, these are very important words, and they're still recited daily by faithful Jews. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And Jesus uses this proclamation, this reality, this grounding, to introduce the commandment to love God with everything we've got. And what I think sometimes we have a tendency to miss is that our love for other people is in direct proportion to our love for God. And we can get so busy sometimes loving others and taking care of other people that we lose track of expressing our love for God. And the word here for love in the Greek is agape, which is more about a doing love than a feeling love, although both are important. Agape requires us to demonstrate, to show our love in practical ways, not just to talk about it or to think that it's a pretty good idea. When we follow this part of the most important commandment, we can love God by what we're doing right now, gathering and worshiping together. We can love God by obeying. We can love God by finding opportunities to serve him. The bottom line, whatever you decide to do, is that agape love requires ongoing, regular expression. And I think sometimes we get off to a really good start with loving God and building our relationship with God, and then it sort of waxes and wanes. Sometimes it stalls. And in my experience, that usually happens when we've slipped into serving God on our own rather than serving with God. I recently returned from a spiritual retreat, and once a day I met with a spiritual advisor, and I was really taken when one day she reminded me that God does not ask us to work for him. God asks us to work with him. And could it also be true that we don't love God on our own? We love God with God. It is, after all, a relationship, a give and take, a two-way street. And if you want to know more about how to have a more meaningful relationship with God, how he wants you to love him, just ask him. Listen, he'll tell you. But don't wait to love the Lord your God. Do it now. And I owe my being here today, of course, to God and to many other very good people, and to one amazing man, Stan Jewell. Stan Jewell moderated the committee that decided whether or not I could be considered, even considered, for ordination. As you can imagine, I was a little anxious about the process and a little concerned about the timing. As I saw it, nothing much was happening. So I took a chance. I didn't know Stan really very well at all. I took a chance and I called him. I told him about my concerns and desires. I asked him if he thought I could possibly be considered for ordination at the next Presbyterian meeting, a couple months away. What he said to me was as if the breath of God breathed on me. It gave me such hope and life. He said, "I don't know why not." You know, we have that saying, there is no time like the present, or how about this one? If not now, when? What Stan said to me and did was, let's do it now. It's been 10 years since that conversation, and I'll never forget what Stan said to me and how it impacted my life in ministry. I always meant to call him. I always meant to write and tell him that it meant so much to me. It was just phenomenal. I meant to do it. I thought there was time. Last year, I ran out of time. Stan died. I was so sorry. I waited. And while I didn't know Stan well, I knew him well enough to know that he put into action his love of God and love of others, even a third career older woman seeking ordination. I can't imagine how he could have shown that kind of love for me if he didn't first have a strong relationship with God. Which brings us to the second part of the greatest commandment. Love others like you want to be loved. Love others as you love yourself. So Jesus again is talking about that same kind of agape love, which needs practical means of expression. And there are many, many different levels of expression, just three. At the micro level, at the basic entry level, we love others by taking care of our property, maybe mowing the lawn for a sick neighbor, or delivering meals to shut-ins. At the mid-level, we might love others by contributing money to a food bank to the hungry, or working with Habitat for Humanity to build a home for the homeless. At a macro level, we might loving others might mean influencing public policy to help needy people get on their feet or ensure just treatment of the vulnerable, or to ensure accountability of politicians, corporate executives, and other persons in high power. At every level, whichever level it is, it demands for us to look with and through God's eyes, and to look beyond ourselves to someone else's needs and to meet them. It could mean, as in the case of my text conversation with my grandson, that we don't stop trying to get together when we hit that first roadblock, those few words. You keep going, we keep going, you don't wait, you love now. Who knows? Who knows what might happen? Remember April 20th, 1999? A good friend of mine was a psychologist who went to Leawood Elementary School, which was the staging place during the tragedy at Columbine High School. In a feeble but very necessary attempt to track down students, they bussed over kids from Columbine to Leawood. That's where panicked parents picked up their traumatized teens. To this day, my friend talks about seeing the eyes of the parents meeting the eyes of their son or daughter for the first time. And whatever happened that morning before they left for school was absolutely irrelevant at that moment. You know, those fights about, you're not wearing that to school, are you? About lunch money, about what you're doing later, about your homework. At that moment, none of that mattered. The only thing that mattered was seeing their child again and having the opportunity to love them again. They didn't know. They didn't know that morning that when they sent their kids off to school, that there were going to be some kids not going home, with their parents. Now, we tend to think there will always be time to do and say what we want to do and say. So we think, why push it? What's the rush? There will be another time, right? Really? I wonder sometimes if we give up too easily when it comes to loving others, especially those we find it hard to love, those that seem so very different than ourselves, or those that we already have a difficult history with. But remember, remember what Scripture tells us. Remember what Jesus says is the most important thing we can do with our time, with our lives. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Jesus tells us to love God and others. Don't wait. Love now. On Easter Sunday, as we celebrated the hope of the resurrection, we sang these words: Christ is risen. Raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning. See what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant, but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion. Joy and peace shall never end. Jesus is our strong companion. So let's dare to love and do as he commands. Who needs your love today? Look around. I don't think you'll have to look very far. Before the day is over, show your love for someone who needs it. In a text, a tweet, a call, a card, a meal. The choice is yours. But the clock is ticking. So whatever you do, don't wait. Love now. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.